Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If you've got a moment today and you know someone in your life who willingly chooses in public to embrace being an Atlanta Falcons fan, find them, wrap your loving arms around them, and let them know it's probably never going to be okay at this rate. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we want to hear from you, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up next, there were a lot of injuries, unfortunate injuries in the NFL over the weekend. If your team got hit hard, if you need to get something off your chest, or if you think one team took the brunt of this more so than the others, hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you and try and help get you through a lot of this pain from this weekend. But, Jhené, I don't know if there was pain worse than inflicted in the great state of Texas by the Dallas Cowboys on the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm telling you, I was ready to be like, you know what's funny? I saw all over the internet the Jason Garrett memes, people like sort of like the one basically joking that he's the ex that looks really good that you kind of won back. And then going down 29-10 at half, everyone was in that bag. Everyone was ready to just cancel pretty much everyone and everything. But then, I don't know, it's not a miracle, but the unexpected really did happen.
Atlanta Falcons happened. We talked about this last week. Going into this matchup, Jhené, I liked how the Falcons looked on offense in week one against the Seahawks. I thought Matt Ryan, there's so many weapons here. We've talked about all the former first-rounders on that unit. But I said, in a situation like this where the Cowboys were under a lot of pressure and the Falcons were coming into town, I never underestimate the Falcons' ability to do the most Falcon thing possible. And that includes having no earthly idea what to do with that onside kick at the end of the game. Like, I am still not sure, looking at that for the millionth time on ESPN News right now, how five Cowboys are around there and none of them wanted to make them right. Five Falcons were around there and none of them wanted to make the team right.
Yo, I'm sorry. I just like kept thinking about how the Falcons are pretty much like the Nuggets. You know, everyone's the Nuggets when it comes to playing against the Falcons. No lead is safe when you're playing against them. But that onside kick, it just blew my mind because everyone was getting an education in real time as to explain what just happened. And to me, it just looked from the outside. The perception was they probably just either were hoping, and I believe Keyshawn was talking about this earlier on the show, that it would go, you know, out of bounds. They were planning on that. But to me, my personal opinion is they just weren't aware in that moment that they could just get on the ball. Like, once it was kicked, instead, they were just waiting and they missed their opportunity and it was right in front of their face. But I will say this, onside kicks, they're not usually like where the ball, correct me if I'm wrong, lays flat. So that was like already a curveball in the situation. And so it looked like a team that probably didn't talk through exactly what they wanted to do through that situation.
And I think a lot of people thought that last part, Jhené, with the shortened offseason we had, less time during training camp, all these things that factor in to a situation that's part of those practices where you're going through special end of game situations, Hail Marys, kneel downs, and you get to the onside kick portion of things. And not having enough time to practice that might have factored in, because Atlanta, at a 99.9% win probability, according to our ESPN metrics, when the Cowboys started their possession trailing 39-30 with 2:57 left. Entering Sunday, teams were 11 of 111 on onside kicks in the fourth quarter since the NFL changed the kickoff rules in 2018. I'll tell you what I think happened, but here was Dan Quinn, the Atlanta Falcons head coach, on what he saw from that experience.
The front line, generally on an onside kick, they're looking to get a block first. Then it goes, you know, the high hop goes to the next player. So when that instance happens and it's not one that is a high hopper, then you just transfer in and you go to your ball. But you're looking at your assignment first of who you have to go block, certainly the ball and then your assignment. So they definitely know the rule.
And Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I agree with Dan Quinn in this. Those frontline guys, I was never a part of a hands team. I can't imagine why, given the silky mitts that I was blessed with. But I was never part of a hands team on my time during my time as a football player. But I sat in enough special teams meetings to know exactly what he said. That front line is usually there to take the brunt of the blow coming forward and let the better athletes behind them go up and make a catch on there. But what I also will say is, as I've watched it back time and time again, I guarantee a lot of those dudes were, A, afraid of being the ones to potentially touch it and give the Falcons a chance before it crossed 10 yards, because for a long time, it didn't look like it was going 10 yards. The way that thing was angling and how slow it was rolling, I'm sure a lot of them thought, this is going to die well before it makes the 10 yards, and I don't want to be the one to potentially gift wrap it to them on the other side. It was paralysis by analysis that led to one of the worst moments for the Falcons, which is saying a lot.
Look, and also, like, where was the hop, though? Like, that was such an unconventional type of kick. And it was, you know, you're absolutely correct, because when you're in those situations, it did look like it didn't have enough momentum to go full 10. But also, it just is, it's remarkable to see how the Cowboys were so perfect and timely with their observations, knowing this is the exact moment to pounce. And by the time it's what do you call it? Like fast twitch muscles?
Oh yeah.
Like it was that final fast twitch muscle that sort of awakened the rest of the Falcons, and then the rest of but it was too late because the Cowboys had it first.
It was just insane, the entire experience, Chinee, because I told you guys this before the show, and shout out to Stu Gotts, Weekend Observations, one of my favorite segments on all of ESPN radio, and I just sat there and kind of like Stu Gotts, I was taking notes during the game just on the notepad on my phone, just going through kind of seeing what came up. The very first thing I typed in was the Cowboys are in trouble, because in this game they got down big early. Yep. It looked like you said, all the things, the wailing of gnashing of teeth about Mike McCarthy were going to start. Even further down the list, I said, glad Dallas let fans back in to watch gestures at all of this. And then finally at the bottom, oh my God, the Cowboys really are a Big 12 team going out to win here again. Because Dak Prescott and the performance that he put on there, Chinee, this Sunday was only the second time in NFL history that multiple quarterbacks threw for 400 or more yards, 4 passing touchdowns, and 0 interception. In 2003, Tom Brady and Nick Foles did it. And yesterday, Rain Dakota Prescott and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills accomplished that feat. It was unbleeping believable.
But you know what's funny? I feel like we were so comfortable for so long, just ready to knock on the Cowboys. Here they go again. We have Super Bowl ambitions. We expect them to sort of underperform relative to the talent they have, just because they've never been able to really, you know, put it together. But we got to shout out Dak Prescott, though. We really do. And also my fantasy football kicker, Greg the Leg.
Greg the Leg Zuerlein coming through in the clutch. And Dak Prescott, who you mentioned, talking after the game about the mindset that allowed this all to take place.
Yeah, I mean, we just had to lock in. I credit Zeke and I credit Coach Pete right there. I mean, simple as that. It's just getting the group together and saying the worst of the worst has happened. I don't know if it can get any worse than the way we started off, but the future is always better than the past. So just focus in on our job. Do our 111th. Don't do too much more. And don't do any less than that. It'll all come together as we did with a couple of stops from the defense and a great special teams play as well.
You know what might have been better than the finish? Probably Dak's fit. It was tough. Fit.
He
with
came
the chain. He had a couple buttons undone. He had the hat. Like, Stephen A., take note. That's how you do it.
That's how you do Texas right there. I'm sure he's got a much better Texas twang than Stephen A.
Oh,
at this point.
In 100%.
That was, and Dan Orlovsky said this earlier, Chinee, between the outfit and the game, that was a $40 million a year kind of game from
it
Dak
was.
Prescott and all that. Because remember, he went into that night already down Lael Collins, who I believe is on IR for the Cowboys, their starting right tackle, and down their left tackle, Tyron Smith, who had been injured earlier in the week and was ruled out before that game. So both of your starting tackles down, a massive deficit to a team in the Atlanta Falcons that is potent on offense, and you found a way to climb all the way back like that, that's the kind that you fire a shot right across the bow of Jerry Jones in that front office and say, you had the chance, the price just went up.
And he looked pretty happy about it, though.
He did, and he deserves to feel very happy about that, because he can go to bed on his Sleep Number Bet or whoever he's doing ads with now and know that he's got even more money to look forward to. Chinee Ngola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. We want to hear from you, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We'll do coming in hot next. Your frustrations, who you thought took the brunt of the NFL injury news over the weekend, all that and more next. It's Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. At some point, we're going to have to get to an Emmys discussion, because it was wild last night watching the Emmys go down amidst everything else that happened here.
Zendaya.
Oh, man. What a moment for her.
Amazing. Best lead actress in a drama series.
Incredible.
Youngest ever.
It was incredible, an incredible moment for her. One show whose name I don't think I can say on air, cleaning up a lot of awards, even though it's not the word, but it's spelled and sounds like the word. So we'll get to all of that at some point, but we want to get to you, 888-729-3776, who you thought got hit hardest by the injury bug over the weekend. What led to that? We want to get to all that because, man, if you are going to come to the microphone, you might want to come correct because our very own Stephen A. Smith never lets us down. And after an epic meltdown by the Atlanta Falcons that led to a moment of triumph for the Dallas Cowboys, you knew Stephen A. was going to have it. And boy, did he ever earlier today.
I saw the Atlanta Falcons up 20-0. I saw them up 29-10. I saw a 15-point lead, 39-24, with under 5 minutes left. I even saw them blowing that and still was in a position to win. All they had to do was fall on the floor. I'd like to sit up there and say something that I've never said about an NFL team before. I mean, Atlanta Falcons might be the dumbest team that I've witnessed in the modern era. I want to get this. Let me get this straight. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five different Atlanta Falcons around the football. Tell me what kind of sense that makes whatsoever.
Now, I'm not willing to go that far, but that's probably why Stephen A. makes what he makes and I make what I make. So if you're going to come, please come with that energy. Cliff.
Yes.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
888-729-3776. Let's go to Brandon in St. Louis. Brandon, you're on Janae and Golic Jr. What do you think led in to what we saw this weekend in the NFL?
Hey, Janae, Golic, I love the show. First time caller. I listen anytime I can, anytime I'm at work. I just want to say what's up to you guys. Y'all doing a great job. Keep it up.
Appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Like I told the producer, man, I think the biggest injury this weekend was obviously Saquon Barkley, followed by Joey Bosa. Saquon 1A, one, and then Joey Bosa 1A. For the simple fact, man, Saquon is the absolute truth. I watched him a lot at Penn State, and I think it's a horrible ordeal for him to be in New York, you know, and I pray that his future, his career is not wasted. I think about Bo Jackson and a lot of the greats who had those injuries, you know, and never was really able to rebound. And then along with Joey Bosa, as far as Joey Bosa goes in San Francisco last year, you know, I think it was their shot. And with Richard Sherman getting older and that defense getting older, I think that window is closing. And so, you know, the injury bug this past weekend was just obviously devastating. And I think Saquon and the Giants took the brunt of it.
I would agree with you on that one. And just so fans for the Los Angeles Chargers don't freak out, it was Nick Bosa this weekend. He mentioned it for the 49ers. Nick Bosa was the one that unfortunately dealt with the ACL injury there. Joey Bosa still upright and doing well, although still probably winded after losing to the Chiefs.
Very true. It's okay. As a part of a sibling duo that gets mixed up, it happens all the time.
I can say, can understand that all too well. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Will in Denver. Will, you're on Chanae and Golic Jr. Who got hit the hardest this weekend?
Okay, I'm a Denver Broncos fan, and I think we should organize a petition to stop the season for a week and do like the NBA and just bring teams back who are actually going to play. The Broncos have no business playing the rest of the season. We don't have anybody. We don't have anybody left. We've got Von Miller, Philip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton. Now Drew Locke is going to be gone for a few weeks. Who's left? Bradley Chubb, they said his knee was feeling a little funny. You know, we're done. We're done. We should just give up. We're done. And the only thing, the only possible redeeming thing for our season, as somebody who, you know, likes to see car accidents and train wrecks, is if we were to sign, because we only have one backup quarterback right now, if we were to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Listen, we appreciate the call, and I understand that as an option. I think a lot of people would look around at this situation and say, huh, there's a pretty capable guy sitting on the sidelines waiting in the wings right now. But, Janae, that is a level of despair that I didn't think Broncos fans had those kind of expectations to warrant that kind of despair.
Am I not allowed to sing?
Oh, no, you're allowed to sing.
Keep holding on. You know, honestly, that's all they can do. That's all they can do. Because they are one of the teams, I would say, out of two teams, the Niners, the Broncos are right next. They're hurting. So I feel the pain in his voice.
They are. And I think that one was about looking for some promise. The quarterback landscape had been such a wasteland for them since Peyton Manning in that John Elway era. And they thought maybe finally Drew Lock was going to be the guy and have a chance. But all the weapons around him, some of his protection, it's all been a difficult time. 888-729-3776. Let's go to Aisha in Florida. Aisha, you're on Chiney and Golic Jr. Who did you think got hit hardest by the injury bug this weekend?
How you guys doing? Afternoon, first time caller, love the show. My beloved New York Giants, Saquon going down really hurt my heart. As a fan for one, but just as a person, I feel for him. He seems like a very good young man. I don't know him personally, but he has a good spirit, and I just hope that he can bounce back. Our season was, I had low hopes from the beginning anyway. But to see him go down really hurt me. And my husband's a Cowboys fan, and they came back and won, so I'm doubly crying.
Oh, my God, a house divided. Aisha, we appreciate the call. That is, I don't know how you end up in a situation like that. It is proof that opposites attract, that love wins overall, Chiney, because that's a tough one to be in.
That is a fact. That must be a really strong relationship there for them to coexist. But, yeah, with Saquon, I have to agree. This is one of the young faces of the league and also a guy that looked from the outside to be indestructible. So for him to take an injury, it's hard to process.
We talked to Bill Barnwell earlier, our ESPN senior writer here, who did a great breakdown on .com of some of the teams most affected. And he said this is a situation that could actually end up giving Dave Gettleman, their GM, more time on the job. He's someone that had come under a fair amount of fire because of some of the decisions that he had made, and now might seems like his runway might get extended.
Sorry, I was completely distracted because I'm like, that makes me think, are there certain teams that a guy, if he came up and said, hey, I like you, you know, and he's rooting for a certain team, would I be like, sorry, I can't date you because you're a fan of X, Y, or Z?
Ooh.
Like, that provoked the question. I was like, oh, are there any team, like, if it's a Mavs fan, would I be like, oh, we can't make this work?
Chiney, you know what? We've learned a couple of things here is that might be a no-go, and certainly public stadium proposals are a no-go for Chiney Agumake. Let's get one more in Bo in Tennessee. Bo, you're on Chiney and Golic Jr. Who do you think got hit hardest the weekend or there's the biggest effect coming off of week two in the NFL?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I love the new show. It's awesome. I think that losing Christian McCaffrey just closed the door on Carolina completely. Even if he comes back, I say we just tank the season and hope to draft Justin Fields.
Ooh, we appreciate the call. All right, this is going to get us something later because, Chiney, we have been big fans of the coin term win never for Trevor around here.
Yes.
And I feel like we went into this season thinking Jacksonville, sign, seal, to deliver on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a bunch of new entries into this conversation, and we will get to that in a little bit. But coming up next, are we finally ready to hand out the MVP to a player that's never received a single vote? We'll talk to one of our best experts about that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We did this. How does Earth, Wind, and Fire get to trend twice in September just because most people choose to ignore
it's
the 21st until we hit the 21st?
We can play the song every day. There's no limit to this song in September.
Listen, I'm all for that. It just weirds me out when everyone just conveniently tries to omit the fact that it's the 21st and goes full on into it on the 1st
of
September.
Because the song is that good.
It is, in fact, that good. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. And our next guest is that good. ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mina, fair or foul playing Earth, Wind, and Fire twice starting on the 1st and the 21st of September?
You play that song anytime, man. That's my favorite wedding song. When that comes on, I am on the floor. I played it on my own wedding, which, by the way, was in September. It is one of my favorites.
Wait, Mina, so you got married during football season?
Well, you know, of course it was not on a Sunday. It was on a Friday, or pardon me, a Saturday, and then the after party the next day, instead of a brunch, we had all day watching football.
My God. All right, you know what? I should have known that you, of all people, would have the best plan possible for that. So sorry for ever questioning or doubting there. Speaking of no doubts about it, Sunday Night Football was just flat-out fun. Mina, the Seahawks get a great win over the Patriots. And I'm curious, looking at this, you're someone who's been a Seahawks fan for a long time. Is this already, through two games, some of the best football we've ever seen from Russ?
Yes. Yeah, and you know, not just and largely not because of Russ, who's always had this in him and at times has reached these highs. But the play calling has been terrific. The skill players that he's playing with are amongst the best he's had. And you're seeing a Seahawks offense that seems to have embraced a very different philosophy from years past. And they need to, because the defense is, it's not great. The pass rush was largely absent last night. But the difference is Pete Carroll seems to recognize that, and they're playing to compensate for it, and it's a beautiful thing.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, star of NFL Live, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast. Now, Mina, obviously Russ was on full display, but also so was Cam Newton. And Cam had a game in which literally fell short 1 yard, but a lot of people sort of shifted their perspectives on what he was able to do so early. What was your takeaway from Cam Newton yesterday?
Yeah, you know, after week one, we knew Cam was healthy. We knew he could run the football and, you know, have a nice quick passing game and execute. But we didn't know if he could pick up chunk plays, and we didn't know if he could make all the throws. I think we saw last night that he is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I mean, he was incredible, honestly. Like, and it's a shame, too, because the Patriots do not really have the skill players that Seattle has. He was really leaning on Edelman, who was phenomenal. And it does feel like if they had an additional receiver, this offense could really go, because that is the best football Cam Newton has played in a very long time.
Looked every bit like Superman last night, Mina, and clever segue, not by me at all, to one of the other quarterbacks in the NFL we're going to get ready to talk of. Carson Wentz has looked like anything but through two games so far this season. Mina, what's the biggest issue right now with him in Philadelphia trying to make this offense go?
Well, I thought it sounded like you were going to segue to set me up to repeat something I said on NFL Live today, which is that Carson Wentz needs to take off his cape, right? I mean, the dude, he has all the tools, but he just presses, and he plays hero ball, and he does it when he doesn't need to. Yesterday, when Philly was just down one score, third quarter, first and 10, when he forced that horrible throw to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, what was so frustrating about that, guys, was that he didn't have to. It was first down, you know? And that's, I think, been the issue with him at times over the course of his career, is the pressing. Because otherwise, you know, he let a great drive to get them there, and I think that's what's so frustrating with Wentz, is you see what you have, but these problems, they persist year after year.
Mina, I'm assuming that part of the reason you went with the Superman moniker here was because Dan Orlovsky, our colleague on NFL Live today, who I'm seeing on screen now, was dressed conspicuously like Clark Kent today.
I didn't even notice that, but I wish I had made that reference. Yeah, he would have loved that.
Yeah, whenever he takes off his glasses, he shifts forms, right? But people don't know that those glasses are fake, but I digress. I'm talking about superheroes. You know, one of the fun stories that we saw, unfortunately, with Tyrod Taylor, you know, having issues, he was not able to play due to health. But now Justin Herbert sort of being a superhero almost, even though going up against the Chiefs. What did you take away from that young quarterback's play?
He was a lot better than I expected. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I thought Herbert needed a ton of development mentally, you know, based on what we saw in college and that Oregon offense. But he looked pro-ready. He was poised under pressure. He went 4-for-4 when he was pressured. You know, made a couple of rookie mistakes, including one really kind of dumb interception. But it was very impressive. And we already knew he had the physical tools, the athleticism to make plays with his feet, obviously scored on the ground. I guess, you know, my only question now is, can he keep it up? Because we often see this when quarterbacks, when they're inserted into a game surprisingly for the first time and defenses are unprepared for them. You know, I think like a Baker Mayfield, you know, for example. And so with Herbert, I think, you know, I would have pumped the brakes a little bit on being too excited based on what we saw in one game. But if I'm a Chargers fan, I'm pretty happy today.
And Mina, we heard from Anthony Lynn. He said if Tyrod Taylor's 100% healthy, he's the starter. Is there any world where Justin Herbert's not your day one starter for the rest of the season?
No, I find that pretty surprising, and I thought he was BSing at first, but he kind of doubled down on it. You know, it's putting Tyrod Taylor in a tough position, too, because that fan base is going to be clamoring for Herbert. So we'll see how that plays out in L.A., but based on what we saw, I found that pretty surprising.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, star of NFL Live, on Shanae and Golic Jr. Now, Mina, yesterday we had such tremendous play, and I'm not just talking about football, also basketball, but also yesterday we saw a number of star players go down to injury. Why do you think these injuries are happening, or do you think it's just par for the course when it comes to football season being back?
I don't know, man. It stinks. you know, I've seen some speculation there about the preseason, although honestly, many starters barely play any preseason as it is, so I don't know if that's quite fair. And last week, I was commenting to someone, there weren't a lot of injuries, and I was kind of surprised, so it kind of feels like everything hit at once. But it's very unfortunate because, you know, it's has massive ramifications, not only for these human beings and their lives, but this league and the way this season is going to play out. We're talking about big contributors on playoff teams going down, and there's really nothing to say other than that it absolutely stinks.
It is brutal to watch, and especially this early after the disjointed offseason that we've had. And on the complete opposite end of that, Mina, we're 2 weeks in now. Obviously, drawing large sweeping conclusions is ill-advised. But through 2 weeks, is there one team that you've been most stunned by, you know, what you've seen on the field, whether it's the record or the play just in general, that's blown you away so far?
I mean, I got to give some credit to Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville because I did not see this coming. I mean, I know they lost, but he's playing out of his mind. And again, that's a big L for me. I, like everyone else, not everyone, many other people, thought that Jacksonville was on team tank. And, well, Gardner Minshew is not going to let that tank happen, it seems like. I mean, he's just playing really good football. He's been accurate, taking care of it, decisive, and he's putting Jacksonville in an interesting spot because even if they do lose a lot of games, you know, he looks like a starter in this league.
You can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts, or turn on NFL Live at 4 Eastern every day here on ESPN. Mina, we appreciate the time.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Mina.
I should have known when I asked the question about the football season wedding that she was not to be tried on that particular subject.
Look, that's a smart move. You got to pace it out. I don't know what I'm going to do, though. I mean, neither do you, though. So we'll get to those problems.
Have you thought about that, Amma? Because, like, it's something, like, I don't even think about. Like, if I am lucky enough to have someone who wants to show up on that day and say yes to marrying me, I consider that the win and everything else is going to come with it. Have you thought a little bit more about what you're actually looking for?
You're right, because most of those decisions, you will have zero weight. Me, probably not going to happen in basketball season. But you never know. You never know.
You never know. All we know is you're not going to get to the altar if you try and propose at a sporting
event.
On
the jumbo cam or whatever.
Don't do it.
Don't
think
do
it through. Do something.
Let me look cute.
Right.
Let me be great.
Just let your teammate be great on this one. All right, coming up next, we mentioned it with Mina Kimes there. The decision by Anthony Lynn to come out and say Tyrod Taylor is our starter has us scratching our heads. We'll break down some classic coach speak for you guys next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump in here and just say that I feel like this song is, and it's Father, Stretch My Hands, Kanye. Anytime you make a great shot, which we saw Anthony Davis make a great shot yesterday in the Western Conference Finals, this song makes the shot look that much better. It's on every play.
Oh, yeah, but you have to time it up to the right part, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's got to hit with if Young
Swish,
Metro don't trust
morning.
You, I'm going.
Yes. Yep,
and then
precisely.
Right there, it's got to hit.
Precisely.
Just like this now. Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I thought you were going to make fun of me for breaking my microphone during the break for the second time in like a month.
Wait, yes, America, he broke his mic again. He goes that hard in the paint, okay? And are you currently still holding it up? Because I was really praising you, and I was so excited. I was like, ooh, I love myself a handyman. I was watching him live try to fix his mic, and I was like, ooh. But you didn't do it?
Listen, I managed to fix it enough to where it's on there. Am I comfortable and confident it's going to stay that way? Absolutely not.
He's so nervous right now.
This thing is screaming harder than my shirt buttons after a night at the Olive Garden. Like, it is not doing well.
Oh, goodness. Olive Garden, that's your spot. Mine was like the buffet, but yes, continue.
I mean, listen, unlimited, the what? The buffet?
Is
that an actual place, or are you just being bougie with the buffet?
Oh, that's how I say it.
Oh, wait, like actually?
Yeah, buffet? Wait, what did I say?
The buffet?
The buffet, yeah, that's how we
That's
do
how
it.
You say, like, you took something, the buffet, which is like the most down and dirty form of eating possible, one that I love and subscribe to, and you found a way to try and make it like the like upscale Winnie the Pooh meme?
No, I was saying you said down and dirty. I'm from the South. I'm from Texas. That's the buffet. We eat at the buffet, baby. Buffet.
What is the buffet?
Wait, time out.
Buffet sounds like something I use to clean myself in the shower.
Oh no, that's a loofah, and I hope it's a loofah. That's a Oreo.
It's a loofah. It's a loofah, according to you.
Yes, yeah. But one moment of silence for buffets. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
moment of silence.
I thought of. Of all the things that might go by the wayside because of COVID, I thought of two places, buffets or buffets, yep. And the smoking room at the Atlanta airport. Like, does anyone think that thing is going to survive?
Yeah, you don't know how stressed people are these days? That thing is going to keep going strong.
The deals are about to be crazy, though, at the buffets.
Everything must go at the buffet. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Coaches like to get up on in front of the microphone and try and tell you that things like buffets are called buffets. We try and help you see through the coach speak in a little segment that we have very cleverly come up with, done up with, made sounders for called coach speak.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it, and we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Janae and Golic Jr.
Coach Speak is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Chiney, this weekend, we talked with Mina Kimes about this just a segment ago, our ESPN NFL analyst. We saw what looks like the beginning of the Justin Herbert era for the Los Angeles Chargers, unless you're talking to head coach Anthony Lynn, who said after the game that if Tyrod Taylor, he said, I'm going to wait and see what type of health Tyrod is in. He was our starter for a reason, and if he's 100% ready to go, he's our starter, but I know Justin can pick up the slack if he can't. Chiney, you heard that and thought, what?
That ain't it. But, like, shout out to Tyrod Taylor, because you have to respect the quarterback that you've named QB1 throughout the process, right? But also acknowledging that he's not healthy at the moment, and you have a quarterback that performed pretty decently, you know, in his how much time? I know we're going to hear this sound. How much time till he knew that he was about to play? A very limited amount of time. You sort of feel like you have to give Herbert the nod. And I'm from the Pac-12, so I like that even better.
Absolutely. A lot of people from Oregon who saw him probably surprised by some of the aspects of his game from last night. I know I was. Here was Anthony Lynn, his head coach, on making the move and delivering that news to Justin Herbert in the pregame, as you mentioned, finding out relatively soon, close up to game time.
He was in a little bit of a shock. I think he thought I was joking. And I had to tell him a couple times, no, seriously, you're the starting quarterback. And so once he realized he was the guy, he was fine.
You're the starting quarterback. Let's go out and play the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and take them to overtime today. It was an impressive performance by Justin Herbert. I believe, like you, I'm assuming that he should be the starter going forward. Now that you've seen this, he's gotten the opportunity. You need to not look back, take the training wheels off, and start to dig into this now. But what people also need to be ready for, Chiney, and you know this, I don't know how you came by your first playing time when you got to the big time level. You were probably a day one starter right away because you were nice like that.
Yeah.
Some of us had to wait a little bit longer in our careers. I got my first real meaningful playing time when one of our starters went down. And going in that situation, you don't have time to think about the game plan, the opponent, or anything like that. You go in there and you're reacting off what you know. Then that next week, it's got time to sit. And this is my word of caution for everybody. Justin Herbert's going to come out and probably have a rough game next week. He's probably going to throw an ill-advised interception, kind of like he did back across his body in this one. He's probably going to put the ball on the ground, and we're probably going to have some conversation about, well, should they put Tyrod in next week? You got to slow down because that's what comes with the territory. You don't have time to think about the gravity when you're told in pregame, but he will this week as they go in, and he's the guy helping them game plan for this one. So pencil in the rough performance, but know it's a part of the growing process.
I agree. It's part of the process. That is what to be expected. But, you know, it's really funny because I'm getting so many flashbacks. First of all, to get a joke, it seems like a joke. Like, oh, you're starting. It's like, haha, yeah, yeah, yeah. So close to game. Oh, you're starting. Like, haha. No. You're really starting. You don't have to have those nerves. You just go out there and perform with what you have. And I think that's why we sort of have, if this was a test, there's probably a little higher curve in his performance. But it just takes me back to when I remember I knew I was going to start. But, you know, we were playing and it's like first game, Diana Taurasi. I'm like, oh, shoot. Next game, Tamika Catchings. Oh, shoot. Because those games were two games in 3 days, I didn't have time to process and think and just play. Which, oh, no, I think we still lost. I think we still lost those two games. But hey, you competed, Justin, and that's all that matters.
It is, and it's not about how you start. In that case, it's about how you finish. You going on to multiple WNBA All-Star teams, and I'm sure the Chargers looking around hoping Justin Herbert, who did not look that accurate under pressure any of the games I saw from him in Oregon, all of a sudden went out and looked remarkably poised. That would, I'm sure, like to be the performance that they keep reading there. And I appreciate that he looks like the popular jock in a high school movie that Sunshine. Secretly just wants to be on the chess team.
I like that description, but also buffet. And I also say rotisserie chicken, even though it's rotisserie. But continue.
Rotisserie chicken. We'll explore this and other abominations in Sinead's vocabulary next.